County Radio. Like the man said, you're listening to Raines County Radio here at RainesCountyRadio.com. And today we have on a very special guest, Andy Mears, who got into healing medicine at the age of 12, has done a multitude of many things, which we will cover in the interview, besides, among other things, being a national karate champion and turned into a ballet student. And is also the foremost person to talk to about what the theme of this discussion will be on, German New Medicine, or as they say in Germany, Germanische Heilkunde. Andy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, David. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, you have an immense background in natural wellness with herbal medicine, nutrition, energy work, and natural therapies, to name a few. Now, how did you come upon encountering this new system that they call German New Medicine?
Well, that's a great question. And this was back in the mid-2000s, and I opened up a wellness center in the state of Maine, which is where I was living at the time. And I was doing all kinds of modalities that I'd been certified in from, like you said, the herbal medicine, the nutrition and homeopathy. I had a colon hydrotherapy system that I was working with, cleansing and detoxing room. So all kinds of things. And so I was in very much immersed in the alternative and holistic world. And I had been for decades at that point, but finally making it real by opening up a center. And I started seeing things on the internet about this thing called German New Medicine. And I'd never heard of that since I started in the 70s. You know, it had been a while. So it's like, why haven't I heard of this? So I bought, I was working so many hours with my wellness center. I decided, well, I'm just going to buy the book. And if I like it, I'll start using it with clients. So I bought the book that they advertised and I got it in and it made no sense. Absolutely no sense. So I had it for a full year and every few months I would pull it out and say, you know, I can figure this out. I'm a smart person. I've got a master's degree at least, so I should be able to figure something out. And I couldn't. So I had a lot of very strong intuition. When you get that urge, when you hear spirit saying you need to do this, then you listen. So I decided in 2009, I would get formally trained, or at least introduced to it so I could understand the book. In the first 30 minutes of the first workshop that I was in early 2009, I totally understood how to read the book. It was like this lock in a key that once you open it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is an entirely different world. So I took off running. I loved this knowledge and started to share it with others, with right in my wellness center, and over years developed a really keen sense of understanding it and using it with people. Got a lot more additional training in it as well, went around the world to get that. And yeah, then I ended up moving, sold my wellness center, moved in 2012 down to North Carolina and went virtual. And that was a good thing because by the time the pandemic hit, I had been doing virtual for years. So that was good timing on my part, at least. So that's how I got into it, basically.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And, you know, I've learned from you that German New Medicine has been around for 40 years, discovered by Dr. Gert Hemmer. Now, you've shown on other interviews the amazing story about how he came about it. I know you probably told a lot, but can you share it with my audience?
Absolutely. It's this story that I want people to really hear because it's something that touches all of us. So he's Dr. Reike Gerd Hammer, and he was working a German physician. His wife was also a physician, regular classically trained German. And he was in his early 40s when they got a phone call that their youngest son, Dirk, had been accidentally shot in Italy while on vacation. So they rushed to their son's side. And after like 30 operations, 4 months later, his son dies in his arms. I mean, for physicians, for regular parents, it's devastating. And knowing that you're a physician and you can't save your son, I can only imagine what that must have felt like for them. So a short time after that, several months later, Dr. Hammer was diagnosed with testicular cancer. So he's starting to put this together. Now, he's not a mind, body, spirit guy at all, doesn't see that connection, but he does see that he's got this huge shock here that happened, and now he's got cancer. There's got to be a correlation. He did surgery for his cancer and started looking at the CT scan. This is the early 80s. CT scans were new. They were the new toy. So he was at the University of Munich in their cancer clinic at that point. And he started to take everybody's CT scan. And he saw in CT scans these round lesions, these circles. They look like a dartboard, like a targeted ring formation. So he took CT scans of everyone in the clinic and he started to look at the CT scans themselves. And he noticed that everyone had this targeted ring formation in different areas in their brain. He had one as well. What was this? Nobody could explain it. So he started talking with his patients and asked them, what's gone on in your life? All of them had some sort of shock or trauma prior to their diagnosis. In talking with the men with testicular cancer, they had all experienced some sort of profound loss, often the loss of a child. And of course, he had two. So he was starting to put this together. And after doing enough of these and talking with enough patients, he realized that everyone with the circle in the same location in the brain had all experienced the same kind of trauma, or what he would call a biological conflict shock, and they all had the same diagnosis of cancer. There was nothing random here. It was 100% accurate. So he took the next number of years and he mapped out the entire brain, and that's what this chart is behind me. And he could tell by looking at where the lesion was in the brain, he could tell exactly the type of conflict shock they had experienced, and also he knew what kind of cancer they would have. So that was the beginning of Germanische Heilkunde. He called it Germanic New Medicine at the time. He called it New Medicine. Then that was hijacked. He called it Germanic New Medicine. Germanic being the native tribes of that part of Europe and Scandinavian countries, so the Germanic people. And then eventually he changed that to Germanische Heilkunde. So,
well, you know, it's amazing all the systems that are done in order to attack or destroy alternative healing. And I really shouldn't use that. I should say natural. Now, in fact, that leads up to the next question I wanted to ask, was that how this attack occurs. For example, there are several doctors, one of them, James Force in Reno, and Stanislaw Brzezinski in Houston. Both of them had, you know, almost like a perfect success rate in curing cancer. And of course, they're sued by the American Cancer Society. They get their license taken away. In fact, one of your colleagues, Danny Carroll, who published articles on conquering cancer, was also shut down. So that leads up to actually the questions I have. What obstacles have you encountered, if any, from big pharma companies to try to undermine what the work you're trying to do?
Well, look at the ones who are physicians. They are working, you know, they're not working the way they should be according to their license. So I understand why they are attacked, you know, and it's ridiculous that they are, but they're not toting the party line there. So they will be attacked by their own people, unfortunately. And while Danny had a couple things shut down, he's still very much going strong and moving forward with all of his projects, which are what we do when we're more grassroots. And that's what I am. I keep my profile very small. I have no desire to have my name out there because that's who gets targeted. So I keep my inner circle fairly small. I reach the people very grassroots. And yeah, that's what I do. I do network around the world. I have colleagues around the world that I work with. which is awesome. And a lot of more people in other countries are targeted much more than we are here in the U.S. as far as Gemeinische Heilkunde.
By the way, we're going to be interviewing Danny here in a while. I actually spoke.
Good. That's awesome. Well, Danny's a great friend. He's a fabulous person. So you'll have a good time interviewing him.
Oh, well, great. Now, outside of health, you were a national karate champion, turned into a ballet student. And besides telling us how in the world that came about, can you maybe tell us some of the qualities or from being in those two areas that may have sort of transformed over into the healing discipline?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. And those were truly decades apart from when I was a national champion. That was way back in the late 70s versus taking ballet, which was about 6 or 7 years ago. So it was, there's a span in there, although I still do some karate for sure. But I think the thing I would say is that I'm always looking outside the box and I'm always looking at what looks interesting to me. And I tend to go there. So I don't often think like other people do. And I think you're kind of in that same boat here, David, that we look at things differently. We have a different viewpoint. And so that's what leads me down roads that other people just don't go. They're actually very similar. Ballet is a hell of a lot harder to do than martial arts. Martial arts came very easy to me. Ballet is very hard, very hard. But they're very similar. The discipline that it takes for both of them are similar.
Well, good. I'm glad you said that because I always felt that way. Like, football players here and they think it's tough. But I go like, man, you should see these people do volleyball. How do they react to this ball traveling 100 miles an hour and it may hit you in the head? Or that people don't think that the difficulties of ballet. So I'm glad we got that point out to the public.
Good.
What if you can, is the single most factor story that you can share with people to kind of get them away from the Rockefeller big pharma conglomeration, which seems to be ruling the healthcare system?
Oh, man. Yes. I think a lot of people understand, are coming to that point, at least realizing that the Rockefeller medicine isn't all that there is out there. And you look at the people who do invest in alternative supplements and modalities and therapies, it's in the billions, you know, so that's a growing industry for sure. But the single most thing I would say for folks that are kind of struggling with, do I really need to take this medication from my physician? And is this really going to heal me? Or does it just keep me stuck? 9 times out of 10, it keeps you stuck. And once people learn, I see this all the time. Once people learn Gemeinische Heilkunde and they're learning the basics of it, the foundation, I have a foundational course. Once they learn that, then they can understand why their physician is prescribing this. You can easily look up any medication on what it's doing. And when you do that, you see, okay, well, how does that fit in with the two phases of Gemeinische Heilkunde? Once you understand the two phases, your entire world changes and you look at everything differently from the perspective of the two phases of disease. It's the single most thing anyone can do. And I see it happen all the time. They learn this and they realize, oh, this medication is actually keeping me stuck. And so they learn how to taper off of it with their physician's help. Of course, I don't do anything like that. And then they find a way to find a solution to their biological conflict shock they experienced. And then they're done with that, running that program, no more symptoms. So the number one thing I would say and that I see is that once people learn this, everything changes as far as when and how to use, you know, doctors, surgery. And there is a time and a place for that. I have a very good friend who's almost 70, and he would have just died if he didn't have access to hospitals and allopathic medicine. And he's been doing the work that I do. He's been doing that over 25 years. So there is a time and a place for it for sure. And it's understanding when and how to use it. And people don't know that now.
Good point. I think in reading your material, one thing that I thought you did a brilliant job of describing was that, you know, all the big pharma appears to be focused on treating the symptoms instead of supporting the healing process. And if, you know, if I read one sentence to go, yes, yes, that's a very profound way to put it, to where it's, you know, if you can put it in one sentence to where everybody gets it, that's a, and that's a magnificent statement that you have on there. Like, if we can, let's take us back to your first epiphany when you were 7 years old and you had to run in with a family doctor over a sore throat. It seems that your awareness and healing came quite early in life.
I think
through a very, very intuitive nature.
Yeah. And I think truly it was my birth that set me up for this. It sent me on an alternative path. And this is the late 50s. And, you know, every woman was sedated back then, of course, unfortunately. But I was ready to be born and the doctor wasn't there yet. And so they made sure they kept my mother's legs closed so I couldn't be born. And my grandmother, who was there at the time, says, when I was born, I looked like a prize fighter. So I think I kind of started karate about then, literally. So I was mad. And it's like, this isn't right. There's something not right here with this system. I was ready to be born and I wasn't allowed to be. That's just my take on it. Then I'm 7 years old and we had a doctor in our neighborhood who would stop by on his way to work if my mother had a complaint about us kids or something. So he stopped by and I, at that point, so it's the mid 60s, and I'm telling him, he's asking me, you know, are there any allergies or anything? I said, well, I think I have a problem with red dye. Mid-60s, right? We didn't know anything about dyes and preservatives and things like that at that point. So, but I had started to put things together in my head. And he says, okay, well, I think you've got strep throat. I'm going to prescribe you some medicine. And it's red. And I looked at him and he did this thing with his eye. He basically winked at me, but I didn't know what a wink was at that age. And I looked at him thinking, you freaking idiot. I just told you I'm allergic to red dye and you're going to give me red medicine. I'm like, this man doesn't listen and he doesn't know what he's talking about. So right there, it's like between those two things, there was no way I was ever going to do anything with the medical establishment unless I needed to.
And to have that happen at 7 years old, that's really amazing. And, you know, it's interesting now that you mentioned your time of birth. I, for some reason, got the impression that that might have something to do with your different perspective. Because if there was a time for you to come out and it didn't, or if it came out early, when you disrupt time, you know, like you're sitting in there when you should have been born, but now you're getting a different perspective because you're supposed to be in the outside world, you know, reacting and interacting in this time, but you're still not out there. It's like,
yep.
I don't know. When you just told me that story, it just gave me a thing. It made sense as far as maybe that's something that contributes to having a different perspective. It's because.
Right. That's how I've always looked at it. It's like, it set me up for they're kind of crazy. I'm not trusting them. They don't know what to do.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. Now you use the term, going back to when German New Medicine was, I guess, initially founded, that the term conflict shock is an important element in the construct of German New Medicine. And can we get like a specific example? We know the result. If you have conflict shock, there's something that is visibly definable within the brain. But what can you give an example on how that tie-in between the shock and then it showing up in the brain?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you asked that because the word trauma is a buzzword now in the psychological world, right? We're looking at adverse childhood events, you know, and how that sets you up for changes in anxieties and all different kinds of disorders as you age. And we're looking at trauma in those cases. This is not trauma. What Dr. Hummer discovered is a biological conflict shock. And in order to experience a biological conflict shock, there have to be three criteria that are met. One is that it's emotionally distressing, and that will look different depending on who you are, but it's emotionally distressing. The next thing is that you're isolated. In that moment of it happening, you're all by yourself. You're focused on it. So let's say that you're driving along, you're going 70 miles an hour, and cars start crashing in front of you. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, there's no time to think. You're in shock about, am I about to die? Before you even hit the pedal, you've already started a program because you've met the three criteria that it's emotionally distressing. You're isolated. So you're not chatting about the latest movie in that moment. You are focused on the event. And the third thing is that it's unexpected. It's unexpected. So if those three criteria are met, a biological program starts in your body. So your brain has turned on one of those what we call a Hummer focus in your brain. It turns on a program somewhere in your body, your growing cells to help you with whatever it is that's happening, or you're losing cells somewhere in your body, or you're losing functioning somewhere. That's when we're upset. We're conflict active. So it's very different from trauma. This is biological. We can see it in a CT scan.
That's incredible. And I'm just floored by this new, new medicine, but just this whole new concept of like, this is something that goes on when you suffer this event. And it's just like, wow, how do we miss this? I mean, I guess not. It's been around for years, and it took the CTR thing to do that.
Right. The other thing I want to point out, David, is that when we meet two of those three criteria, it's what we call stress. When we have all three criteria, that's different. That starts a biological program.
Wow, that is amazing. Okay, well, I would listen to your interviews and hear that being mentioned, and I read the material and saw it. But to actually grasp that, you did a fabulous job on that's what's involved here. You know, going back to some of your other interviews, you mentioned healing always takes place in a liquid environment. Can you share with us an example of that?
Sure, absolutely. When you, let's use an example we can all relate to. Let's say you get a big cut and you're bleeding a little bit and you look at it. It's like, oh no, I've cut myself. And so what do? We, you know, maybe clean it up and put some stuff on it and put a Band-Aid on it. But in a few hours or so, it's going to be a little red and a little swollen. That's liquid. That's the inflammatory process, because that is healing you. We have to bring liquid to that area because that is what helps us to heal.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, if we go to the brain, if we go to spiritual context, what would be the liquid environment that in the physical plane? You know, okay, I made a cut. You got the liquid. Now, if it happens in a mental or spiritual context, what do you think would be the surrounding environment, or, you know, like a liquid environment? Okay, but on the mind, because if we're talking about the brain, what would it be? If we're talking about this spiritual energy, what might that be? Because I always felt that if you have something going on in the physical plane, there's a similar process going on in the mental and the spiritual plane then as well, is that, first, they're all related. You know, like you said,
Let me say something that might help, in that what Dr. Hummer discovered is biological. This is biology. And so I have a lot of folks who come to me who have done a lot of spiritual work, a lot of inner work, whether it's lots of therapy or the spiritual, you know, looking at it from a spiritual perspective, and yet they still have their symptoms. And that's because it's biological. So yes, we are much more than just biological. And yet if we simply address one aspect of us and not address the biological, oftentimes there's just not a connection there. There are times when you do address something spiritually and the biology shifts. And that would be, I know we're thinking we're addressing it spiritually, but there are times that it also occurs on that physical level because you have resolved it and you've done the inner work you've needed to resolve that program that's running, and then your symptoms go away. That makes sense, but
it does. And then I just, like I said, when you answered that, it led to another question. It's not on the thing there, but I just, you know, I had to ask it because the question later or at the end of the interview, I might've forgotten it. It's just, That's why I blurted it out. So
that's fine.
Just a personal one for me. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, hey, last question. Your website offers some unique groups and workshops, as well as a case study group. And can you describe what one can expect when they participate in some of these?
Sure. And the Case Study Club is a wonderful introduction to this. It's 1 hour. It's $12. It's like incredibly affordable. And we look at case studies. We look at people who have used this work to be healthy. Well, how did they do it? How does this work? It's a wonderful, wonderful introduction. So I highly recommend the Case Study Club. It's once a month, usually the first Wednesday of the month at 12 o'clock Eastern Time. Beyond that, I have a basic course, my foundational course. So the misperception here is that people think, oh, I need to book a one-on-one session in order to figure this out. Usually you don't. Usually what you need is education. This is all about self-empowerment. In an hour consult, I can't empower you enough. However, if you learn this body of knowledge, you probably won't need a consultation nearly as much as you think you do. So I offer a live teleconference every single week for my students, because you cannot learn Gemenishe Heilkunde from a book, from a website, or from a bunch of videos. You just can't. You will get a very a knowledge that will have a lot of gaps in it, and that's not what you want. So I have a lot of, it's a video course, it's activity sheets, plus every week we put it together so you understand what you're doing. That's really important. And I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people take that course and change their lives.
Wow. Well, that sounds amazing. Is there anything that you would like to say or add that maybe we haven't asked, but something you'd feel that you'd like the audience to know?
No. Oh, gosh. I would say that once you take a look at Germanic New Medicine, the Germanische Heilkunde, it will speak to some people. It won't speak to others. And that's fine. You have to be ready for this. And I know that. We all know that. But if you're ready, it will take hold and you'll want to know more, because it's like the ultimate in body sovereignty and health sovereignty. You can't possibly know more than this. This is amazing. My basic course is less than $300. And what I always say is med school for less than $300.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to look at it.
You'll have the resources to understand the cause, the conflict shock of every single symptom or disease out there. That's empowerment. You'll have the ability to know what to do about it as well.
Wow, truly is. Well put. Well, Annie, thank you so much for your time. And we will certainly put this up. I'll let you know when it's up on our website. And good luck in what you're doing. Like I said, when I heard that, it sounded interesting. But when I started to research what you've done and what it is, to the best that I could understand it, I felt this was truly important that really everybody needs to at least look at. And thank you so much for sharing all the information.
So welcome. And I have a free preview on my website, so people can just go and take a look at that. They'll get an idea of my style and a little bit about the information about what this is. So definitely that's a great thing. It's right on my website. So
okay, great. And I'm going to post a link of your website right below the interview.
Thank you, okay. David. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm talking with you.
Well, great talking with you too now. So
all right. Let's keep in touch.
If your prayers could all be answered.
Yeah.
listening to Rains County Radio. Rains County Radio.